This is AgriPulse Open Mic, brought to you by the U.S. Grains Council, a private nonprofit organization dedicated to building export markets for U.S. barley, corn, sorghum, and their products. The council is headquartered in Washington, D.C., and has 10 international offices and active market development programs in more than 50 countries. For more information, visit www.grains.org.
Professor Carstensen, welcome to AgriPulse Open Mic.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here, or on here, as the case may be.
You have publicly praised the Department of Justice and Agriculture for conducting a series of competition and agriculture workshops. To your knowledge, has anything like these workshops happened before?
Not this kind of an industry-specific workshop program that I'm aware of, no.
Why are these workshops necessary?
Well, there are major issues related to the operation of agricultural markets, both on the input side and on the output side, that have been front and center in public debate and concern for quite a while. And there's a real need for decision makers in Washington to have a better understanding of what the economic market issues are, and that's where these workshops become important.
You submitted a 25-page document to DOJ summarizing important competition and market issues that currently confront American agriculture. Briefly, what are they?
Well, it seemed to me that there were issues starting on the output side, with dairy. The pricing of milk is subject to enormous amounts of manipulation, as is the present milk marketing order system. Those really need to be addressed. Similar problems exist in the pork, beef, and poultry markets, where the Department of Agriculture has authority under the Packers and Stockyards Act to ensure reasonable, efficient access to the market, fair and open competition, and has failed to address a number of those issues. In the broader area of agricultural crops of various kinds, there are both serious problems of buyer power in corn, grain, and what looked to me to be abuses of the agricultural marketing agreement system, creating anti-competitive orders in various fruits and vegetables, and that needs to be examined. And then another concern on the input side is in, especially in seed markets, but we're seeing increased concentration across the board, but in seed markets there are a series of practices that both unduly, in my view, exploit farmers in terms of the price of genetically modified seed, and now a series of practices that are interfering with innovation in the development of new seed. I'm also concerned generally about downstream mergers that create buyer power. This is a big problem, and I think the Federal Trade Commission has not been attentive to it, and that buyer power comes back up and affects the price of things on the farm. And finally, I'm concerned about the present state of the law as it relates to cooperatives. There are a number of problems out there that need to be addressed. I'm one of those that's very skeptical about the need for Capra-Volstead, and that it's really time to reconsider how we regulate and think about cooperatives, large and small.
You know, the Obama administration antitrust division and Justice Department certainly has sent the signal that it is going to be more active in this area of enforcing competition in agriculture. They have an investigation underway in the soybean industry. They've gotten involved with some activities and transactions of Dean's Foods. And then they went back and looked at a merger between Premium Standard Farms and Smithfield Foods. Are you encouraged by what you see out of Assistant Attorney General Christine Varney so far?
I am moderately encouraged. Oh, you know, I'm always one of these people who's wanting to see more. And I think we need to see whether they follow through in their soybean investigation and do anything. I will say I was disappointed in the lawsuit that they brought against Bean Foods, not in the fact that they brought it. I think that was very good. But if you look at the complaint, it is all about the harm that merger has done to school systems that buy milk and to consumers that buy milk, even though the data they show would suggest powerfully that farmers were going to be adversely affected in terms of access to the premiums that are paid for fluid milk. There is not one word in that complaint expressing concern about the adverse effect of that merger on dairy farmers in Wisconsin. That's troubling because we ought to have seen that. It was an additional obvious effect of that merger, and it should have been identified in the complaint.
There are those who argue, and as you did earlier on, that even the nation's farmer co-ops have gotten just too large and no longer need protections under the Capper-Volstead Act. What about allowing antitrust protection, but making it relative to size?
Perhaps. I tried to lay out in my paper that it's really what the cooperative does that makes a difference as to whether or not you need to think about an antitrust exemption. A co-op that only engages in having its members agree on prices that they would charge is the sort of thing that under standard antitrust law would be absolutely illegal. And so you need to protect that. For a cooperative that is acting as a marketing agent, that's now legal under antitrust law. For a cooperative that engages in the collective processing of goods, that's also legal. So that I would look for a more functional kind of division among cooperatives. Those that are engaged in purely in coordinating prices among farmers need some kind of exemption, but also need then oversight. We give oversight to the labor unions that do the same thing. We need to have it much more regulated by the government when a cooperative does that. Otherwise, regardless of size, they should be out there subject to the same laws on competition that govern everybody else.
You know, supporters of ag co-ops argue that, yes, they have gotten big, but they have had to get big to match the power of the people that they're selling products to, i.e. the Walmarts. The concentration on the retail end has forced them to grow big in concert. Do you buy that argument?
Well, yes. I mean, that was one of the points that I made in my paper, is that the Federal Trade Commission, which oversees mergers in the grocery, both grocery production and grocery retailing markets, has turned a blind eye to the buyer power consequences of a number of the mergers that they've allowed. It's not clear that if you've made a series of mistakes on one side, you should then make an offsetting mistake on the other side by increasing concentration. And it's not at all clear that any of that bargaining really exists. That is, Walmart doesn't bargain with farmers, farm groups. It bargains with Tyson or with JBS Swift or with Dean about the price of milk. And that buyer power then gets reflected back upstream. So that's the first thing to consider, is that a large co-op doesn't have much clout in this. Secondly, the evidence is pretty overwhelming, in my view, that large co-ops that dominate output markets wind up being very bad for farmers. They behave like any other monopoly buyer. That is, they drive down the price paid to the farmer. There have been, as you're probably aware, some enormous scandals involving how the very large dairy co-op has handled the resources it possessed in terms of diverting those funds to insiders. So there's very little gain. In fact, usually it's a loss to the farmer to be part of a very large cooperative. That said, what we need is better disclosure. Large cooperatives are not subject statutorily to the kinds of obligations that similarly sized corporations are subject to in terms of disclosing to their shareholders, which is what a farmer is in a co-op, income, et cetera. They don't have the same governance rights, farmers don't, in their co-op that shareholders have in a large corporation. And that's, again, where we really need rethinking of the rules that govern large co-ops. They're not necessarily evil, but they need to be governed appropriately.
DOJ and USDA have scheduled 5 sessions today on seeds, livestock, poultry, dairy, and then on the input side. What do you hope the conclusions will be after this series of workshops is over?
Good question. My hopes are, first, that decision makers and policy makers at both the Justice Department and at the Department of Agriculture are better educated about the competitive issues. And these are complex issues, and they need to be understood in their complexity. And similarly, there needs to be a real focus on remedy. That is, how can you change things that won't make matters worse? So my hope is that we get better education of policymakers at both agencies, but in particular, I think the antitrust people are the ones who are far less sophisticated about, knowledgeable about these issues. Secondly, I'm hoping that there will continue to be real attention by the media to what's going on, what's being said, what's being disclosed at these sessions, because the general public needs to be made more aware that that has a political dimension, but it is really to make sure that again, the general public understands why there are concerns here so that it will be more supportive of the kinds of lawsuits and regulatory reforms that need to be made. So that, I think ventilating this, educating both the public and the decision makers in Washington is a very important component. I suppose I'm also hopeful that it prods both agencies, that is, the public discussion prods these agencies to be a little more expeditious in their decision-making, moving things along, getting at USDA the regulations that are under discussion out so that they can actually become effective, getting the Justice Department to actually bring some lawsuits and not just keep studying them.
Professor Peter Carstensen, a specialist in agricultural law and particularly antitrust law at the University of Wisconsin. Professor, thank you so much for joining us on AgriPulse Open Mic.
It was a great pleasure to talk with you.
AgriPulse Open Mic has been brought to you by the U.S. Grains Council, a private nonprofit organization dedicated to building export markets for U.S. barley, corn, sorghum, and their products. The council is headquartered in Washington, D.C., and has 10 international offices and active market development programs in more than 50 countries. For more information, visit www.grains.org.